tough kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley, and joined, as always,
I am.
Wow. I am sick, by the way, so my head's not working. But as always, I'm joined by your Alliance Council Secretary, Cameron Collins.
Hey, everybody. I'm not sick for a change. It's surprising. I think I might have given it to Aaron the other day when we were making out.
And as always, joined by Nicholas Biella, your Alliance Council...
At large.
Yes.
It's not just a clever name.
It's not just. And I'm your Alliance Council friend. Welcome. It's Sounders Scuttlebutt. It's your first time listening. We have a show Discord, and it's been beautifully organized by your Cameron Collins to fit for our mailbag, for general Scuttlebutt talk when our show gets posted. And there's just really good banter on there. And we tend to pull from the Discord for our Scuttlebutt portion of the show. And if you want to help support the show, on Patreon, we have our supporter section. It's only, $1.74 to join. That does go towards hosting the show, and we really do appreciate it. And also, Cameron Collins will drop some interviews in there. We've just started one last month, yeah. LA Galaxy fellow.
Tolkien scholar. It was incredible fun. Incredibly fun. We got some other good ones coming up in the works.
In the works. Speaking of in the works, it is the off season and all the clubs are doing stuff.
Not much longer. I think some teams have already started training camps.
We've started training camp.
That is true. It's the 14th.
40 days. That's all the off season was.
Yeah. So what I was getting at is that our rosters are constructed, right? So we now can kind of see what the work that's been done to both our team and others, and kind of can start, I don't know, predicting, prognosticating what we think might happen. And there's a lot of paths to trophies this year, isn't there?
Oh yeah,
a lot of chances to win. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So where should we start off? What should we be doing?
I mean, I think
we should be cracking one open.
Go ahead. Oh yeah, I'm gonna figure out what's going on with my mic right now while you do that.
Who's Mike?
That's the person in the mask locked up behind him.
Is that not a Rainier?
You are correct. This is a Pabst Blue Ribbon. I have my annual Colorado Pond Hockey Tournament, the Pabst Colorado Pond Hockey Tournament, coming up in just a few weeks.
You corporate whore.
So I am training, you know. I got to get ready for high altitude, 10,000 feet above sea level hockey.
You were telling me about that a few months ago. That's pretty dope.
It is. So we get a lot of Pabst that weekend. And so, you know, I got to remind myself what it tastes like and, you know,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I like cheap beer.
Cheap beer.
I mean, I do too, but it's not really. I mean, I much prefer a Pabst over like Keystone or anything with ice in the name.
Natty Ice, man.
I think for me, my order is Rainier, PBR, and then when I can get it, Yingling.
I don't know what that is.
What's Montucky Gold Snack?
You know what? That's not bad. Yeah, Montucky's not bad. I'll take a Montucky.
Is that what it's called? Gold Snack?
Something like that.
Yeah,
Montucky. Right. What are you drinking, since you're not drinking in January there, Aaron?
A La Croix. Although the other one is the Spindrift. The poppies are gone. Poppies are so good.
Spindrift.
Seriously, yeah. The prebiotic sodas.
Spindrift is good too.
Do not. What is
Spindrift?
Yeah, Spindrift is, but have you had a poppy?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I prefer all of them.
Check this out, guys. You know me and my stubby holders. Mm. God, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last show, Cameron, but I have a Yeti stubby holder. It's metal on the inside. You put it in the freezer, and then you put this cap on, seals it.
That's cool.
So these are the ones that look like floaties in a pool, right? Copacabana. Ew. Upgrade. Yeti. Not
and
a sponsor.
So no one's going to take the obvious joke about your stubby holder? No one?
I'm drinking iced tea from Red Robin. That's what I'm drinking.
From Red Robin?
Yeah. Yum. Yeah. Yum. I had a Red Robin delivered today. And when you get it delivered, you can get a giant bag of iced tea. So I got a giant bag of iced tea that's currently in my fridge. It's probably like 2.5 liters or something like that.
That's okay. That's okay.
Fair enough.
It's only $8. Okay. It's probably the best deal on the menu.
Okay. Let's hit it. Let's talk about shit.
Game changer for the MLS, says World Soccer Talk.
Game changer.
They have a new trading system that is cash for player trades, which has never been allowed. It's similar to essentially buying players like the
transfer
we can do everywhere else. I'm glad we can talk about this publicly now because Nicholas and I have known about this for a little bit, but it's not something that we were allowed to publicly speak on. But the new rules say that each team gets a maximum of 2 trades annually, and you can there's transparent transfer fees, so the fee amount will be publicly disclosed, which you don't see always in other places. And if a player is a DP or a U22, they retain those designations at their new club. So it brings out some pretty interesting stuff. Because of it, the contract buyouts have gone from 1 to 2. So now you can have 2 contract buyouts. Now, before all the Raul Ruiz Diaz / Craig Weibel haters get in on this, nothing has changed concerning guaranteed contracts. So if any portion of their contract is guaranteed, you're not getting cap relief if you cut a player that way, if they have a guaranteed contract in any portion.
Just a sunk cost.
Yep. There's adjustments to GAM, so it no longer expires. It's good indefinitely. So you can, I guess, add it up over years to sign more players. And the transfer, the transfer windows have changed. The secondary transfer window is shifted to better match the global transfer market. And so now it runs from July 24th to August 21st.
However, keep in mind this year for Miami and Seattle, we have a special window before Club World Cup. All teams in Club World Cup have a special window for like 2 weeks before the tournament.
Where did you learn that information?
That was in the FIFA guidebook for all Club World Cup teams.
Sweet. What do you think about that?
Isn't that special?
No, I don't know how much that would come into play for us, but it is an option.
Well, that is a game changer, and not as confusing as I anticipated.
No, it's pretty straightforward. In fact, it limits the number of moves you can make, but it allows, a player to be traded who maybe wouldn't be otherwise, because you can now sell them for cash rather than GAM.
Well, there are also a couple other little things that aren't so little. One of them being that if you loan an outgoing designated player, that MLS team will open up that designated player slot during the loan period. So if we were to say loan Raul Ruiz Diaz as an example, down to a Peruvian team, then we could have opened up a DP slot during that time.
Yep.
And then the other thing is just a reminder, this is not necessarily a new rule. I think this was starting, or maybe they announced it last year and it's now in place now. Teams have 2 options on how to do DP and under 22 spending.
So that was announced at the beginning of the season, but the new wrinkle is that you can switch halfway through the year. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so thank you. And so the reminder is you can go with 3 designated players as traditional, and then it's three designated players, and then that allows you to have three U-22s, or you can have two designated players. Wow, I'm going to get this messed up. And I think it's like three U-22s and additional GAM. Does that sound right?
Yeah, you can do three DPs and three U-22s, or two DPs and four U-22s with the additional.
With the additional GAM. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I think that's some of the, you know, it'll make it very interesting to see which teams do what. Like, as we'll get to teams like Dallas, I expect them to maybe go with two and keep all that GAM.
I mean, they have one right now, so
that's what I mean, you know. And then obviously the Sounders are a 3-3 team.
I mean, let's look at that real quick. So Jesus Ferreira is gone, Paul Arroyo's gone, Alan Velasco is being sold. So the only DP they currently have is Petar Musa. And then they have Dallas has Giovanni Jesus or Jesus, Ines Sali, and Leo Chu as the three U-22 slot. So it'll be, I don't know if they've already, did they already have to declare? That's what I don't know.
Is it? So I was going to say, this is effective as the public announcement of it, yeah. Or like, because obviously Jesus was a DP and no longer is.
That's contractual, so though. He took a pay cut for that.
Okay. So trade happen now?
If we traded for him now, he would remain a DP.
That's what I was trying to clarify. If
we got cash instead of GAM, you can still do the GAM trades. You can still do the old trades. It's just the new trades allow for cash instead of having to use Garber bucks.
Real cash money.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting what Atlanta does with all, you know, you think about the cash that their owner has and what they...
Seriously.
I mean, I think we've seen now with what has gone on that considering the limitations that Garth had, he's probably the greatest executive in MLS history based on what he was allowed to do with the amount of money he was given. So it's pretty impressive. And so now that he's going to have infinite money, I'm excited to see what happens.
And honestly, looking at we'll have more roster talk later, but we still have flexibility to sign like a nine, like you want Cameron or another
maybe
player.
Roster flexibility. I don't know if we have the budget flexibility, but
I know. So like going down the neck, we can build on this season in the next year or two, you know, especially with the money that'll come in from FIFA competitions because we're going to win them all. But yeah, that using real cash could be definitely for the big markets, a game changer. But
I mean, right now the Sounders have three DPs and one U-22.
Correct.
They will get, which, you know, Pedro, Jordan, and Albert, U-22's Josh. There will be another U-22 from our internal, I bet, because that's what Craig's been saying for a year now. And then he mentioned that we at his press conference that we would potentially sign another U-22 maybe. So I watched all the press conferences today. It was pretty fun just watching every new and old Sounder player talk about what they think is coming this season.
What I think is interesting, going slightly talking about transfers and such, is San Jose, because they're going to be they just picked up Chicho Arango, but keeping track,
he's been off since he was hurt, but still one of the best
dangerous players. Yeah. But what's really interesting is that gives San Jose at this point four DPs. So they have to get rid of one of Christian Espinoza, Hernan Lopez, or Carlos Guerzo.
But they have five more weeks to do that.
February 21st. Yep. But that's the roster compliance date. But it'll be interesting to see what they do there. And, you know, it's Bruce Arena taking control of everything. And we'll see what happens.
Matt Doyle, our friend Matt Doyle, who works for MLSsoccer.com now, believes it's going to be Gruzzo. Is that how you say his name?
I don't know for sure.
That's what
Wikipedia.
And they have no U-22s, so you could see them potentially coming up with some of those, which is so interesting because they had a few young superstars that have moved on to other teams. So,
well, they haven't had a consistent identity in a number of years now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is too bad because I really liked the all or nothing approach that when what's his name was coaching.
The long hair?
Hector, or not Hector, Mexico's, oh gosh, what is his name?
I don't remember. It's too long ago.
Anyways, it was the COVID year when we were spanking them 7-0. I'd like more of that.
Yeah. I mean, looking around the league, let's do, I'm not even going to necessarily go into the players, but Austin has 3 DPs and 1 U22. Of course, they brought in Brandis Vasquez, but Drisi is on his way out. So really they're at 2, they're going to be at 2-1. So we don't know if they're going to the 2-4 route or the 3-2 route. So we will see what happens there. The Rapids have 3-1. The Dallas, like we said, the Dallas has 1-3. Houston has 2-3. KC has 2-2. LA has 2-2. Other LA Galaxy has 3-1. Minnesota is 3-2. Portland has 2-3. Salt Lake has 1-4. So far they're the only one to go the 4U22 route.
Yeah.
Wait, remind. I think you have Dallas backwards a little bit, just because I think what you're looking at might have been before the trade.
No, Dallas has 1 DP.
2
and
2.
No, they have Pitar Musa. That's it.
As Valesco officially left?
No, but he's being sold. They
okay, so you're, million, that's where you're.
Accepted a $10 million offer for him.
Okay.
So he's gone. They're in complete rebuild. Well, Dallas is the new worst team in the MLS. They're the new San Jose. San Diego only has 1-1, though. So, I guess I should finish. There's only 2 more. 3-2 for St. Louis and 3-2 for Vancouver.
Kevin De Bruyne rumors are coming back for San Diego.
Yeah. So they obviously have money to spend. They want to make a splash. I don't know how good they are. San Diego also has $5 million in GAM left, which is pretty impressive. The Sounders have $4.2 million left. So they could still make something happen potentially, but we'll see. So, it's around the league. It looks like most people are going the traditional 3 DP route. But the big news is that can change halfway through the season, right? Because you can decide, hey, this player wants to play for us. We're going to switch it up and drop a DP and pick up an extra U22. Exciting stuff. Any other news come out of the MLS? I don't think Inter Miami signed a new player today. they signed Tadeo Allende on a 1-year loan from Celta de Vigo in Spain. So they've got another quality player coming in for them, and I'm sure we'll see more of that. Sometimes it's hard not to get FOMO, but we'll get into that because I think FOMO isn't always as what it's cracked up to be.
Yeah. And I just want, I already had put it in our show description because I didn't want to mention it, but Matt Doyle, who you just mentioned, did an article going over kind of everyone's, where'd it go? Every team's like off season, like who should they add?
Yeah, that's essentially what I was looking at. It says what they have in
this week. Okay, good.
Every team's biggest transfer need as preseason begins for the Western Conference. It was released on Tuesday, January 14th, which is today. That's when we're recording. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's in there. And he pretty much says that we have the highest floor in the league and don't need to make any changes. And if we did any, it would be in the middle of the park.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. I mean, here's the thing is Portland's making moves. They're trying to get some defenders in there. If they get their defense broken down solidly, they're going to be good. News broke earlier today that San Diego is trying to sign U.S. Men's National Team midfielder Luca De La Torre, which would be a pretty good signing for them. Chicago Fire is trying to get a Fiorentina winger.
Chicago picked up former Sounder Sam Rogers.
Yeah, they did, which is interesting because they have a lot of defenders. And then they signed Jack, what's his name? The guy, Jack, I'm blanking on his name right now. The guy from Philly.
Bryce.
Bryce is what was in my head too, but that's not right.
That was a That was, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Isn't it like M's McGurney or something?
I don't know. So, Toronto just signed a player from Girona, and they have a new head coach, of course, with the old Robin Fraser, the old coach of Colorado. And before that, I mean, he might have been in teams in between that, but I remember most notably is Chivas USA that one year. They were kind of fun. So still moves coming. There's still time, right? There's until the roster doesn't freeze, but you've got to make sure you're within the roster rules by that date. So I think the Sounders have announced what, 4 moves recently, and they might have one more coming.
Yeah, they announced JP's re-signing, mm-hmm. Albert's signing, Paul Areola, and Jesus Ferreira.
Mm-hmm. So,
on top of Leo Burney and yes. So why don't we start there? How do you feel about the state of the Sounders as of right now? Do you think this has been? How do you feel about this transfer window in the offseason?
Well, why don't we take that and turn it into Alex's question or request of us to rate our offseason signing and offloading?
Perfect. Let's do that. Why don't you read the question in full the way he wrote it?
That's it.
Rate our offseason signing and offloading from 1 to 10.
From 1 to 10.
10 being great. Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Oh, throwing the decimal.
Why? Why? Because I think Craig Weibel absolutely fleeced Dallas on the 2 trades. I mean, you brought in 2 players at well below their value. You had them rework contracts so they don't hit the
threshold
the way they did. They could then both fit within the salary cap, and it's an upgrade. Both players are an upgrade at various positions. I think based on what Christian said in his press conference today, he's no longer a winger. He'll be playing in the middle of the field, whether that's as an 8 or a 6. So I think you bring in another Paul, as an Areola, and he can play on the left or right, but obviously he's great on the right. Usually for USA, that's where he played. He can play at a wing back as well. So if we're playing 5 at the back, he'll play back there. And we've just seen I think it's a big upgrade in terms of that. So I think we moved on from Chu, who we talked about a lot, was not an expensive piece, but when you can exchange him for a Jesus Ferreira, who can play both wings, the 10 and the 9, and hopefully we're going to be playing 2 at the top. So he'll be playing Jordan up top with him right behind him, kind of like Dempsey used to do for Oba. And then I think it's going to be unstoppable up there. We'll have so much service. I think what they did with Pedro de la Vega, telling him to come in stronger, which Brian Schmetzer said today in his press conference, that's what they did. And he's come in stronger and he's in shape. So that's a huge thing. And so I think, you know, we had the best defense. We addressed a bunch of needs. And I think by moving Atencio back to center back, we also addressed the fact that Yamar is getting older, which, of course, Brian mentioned in his press conference today as well. So I think all in all, we improved a team that finished, 4th in the West last year and was the final 2 in the West. Do I think we're as good as the LAs? No. I think we needed to bring in a U22 type player, high-end U22, or a DP, a younger DP who either at wing or forward who could score or create a ton of goals. We did not do that. So although we upgraded, I think we could have upgraded more. I will say Jesus Ferreira, I mean, we brought in a player for very little that whose value is upwards of 10 million, but I would have liked to seen like a 15, 20 million player brought in. So
see, this is where I'll push back a little bit on that,
but let me finish. And then I don't think Jordan, I mean, everyone's doing Jordan. The fact that he earned himself into being a DP, Brian mentioned today that it wasn't until he moved him strictly to forward halfway through the season. Well, that means he really did everything in a quarter of a season. Cause the last quarter of the season, he didn't show up. Other than the one goal in the playoffs, which he scored from the wing, he had 11 straight games where he didn't score from forward. So he had 4 goals in that time, all from the wing. So he has not proven it to me. So he's got to go out and prove that he's a DP. I think he's a low end DP compared to what other teams have. And so I see the fact that we did not bring in a higher level player as the one hit. So we're not going to hang with both LAs. That doesn't mean we can't finish second, but right now we're the third best team in the West. Champagne problems.
Aaron?
Nicholas?
Oh,
you Nicholas, you already had a thought ready to go.
I'm going to start. I'm going to rate it as an 8. I think there's a lot of good things about what you said there. I just keep coming back to people shitting on Jesus Ferreira's proven stat sheet already.
I think he is they brought in a DP level player for sure. I'm just saying we needed another piece on top of him.
I get it, but you were saying, oh, we didn't bring in the way you were saying it is we didn't bring in an attacking player.
I wanted Gabriel Peck. I wanted a best player in the league type player. Jesus.
Well, it depends on which Jesus we're getting. True. If we're getting Jesus from 2 years ago, we got that.
Yep.
You know, if we're getting the Jesus from last year, maybe not. So that's why I'm going to give it an 8 because, and where I'm going to give Craig Weibel a lot of credit, and you touched on it again, as Dallas absolutely got fleeced.
Now, we were able to do that because they're on a fire sale right now. But still,
well,
look, they still sold Velasco for $10 million, and we got Jesus Ferreira for pennies.
Yes, and especially when you look at just the fact that you keep this in mind as well. When you re-sign a player like that and you get him to take under DP dollars, you are having the Jordan Morris problem. Mm-hmm. What just happened this year with Jordan Morris? Jordan Morris was told in his contract, if he hit certain performance metrics, he would get, you know, he would get DP automatically in his contract. I have a sneaking suspicion that that's written into Jesus Ferreira's contract as well. Like if you hit certain performance metrics, these things will happen. Now, what will likely happen is the club wisely recognized that, oh, if he hits these performance metrics, well, then that's going to mean that we're going to be able to sell him for a lot more than what we brought him
in for. Or Rusnak has a second-year option. He's gone after 1 year.
Now, that could – I mean, either way, it gives us way more roster flexibility. Right. And that's been one of the issues we had from our time post-2020 when we were going for it for Champions League is we painted ourselves into a few corners. We re-signed Rui Diaz, we re-signed Lodero, and we knew at the end of those contracts that it was going to be a little tight for a bit when they were not necessarily performing up to those contracts. Now you have the inverse. You're bringing in Jesus Ferreira, and he's a TAM player. So you have this great flexibility of being able to complement that in a different way. So really, really excited about that. The trade for Areola, same thing. Areola took a pay cut to come to Seattle. I saw a quote somewhere where either Jesus or Paul were saying, I want to play for a winner. You know, and that's something that we get as a Sounders.
I posted in our Discord, but we talked about the fact that Areola and Jesus became the second pair of American players in MLS history in 2022 to each have double-digit goals. The first pair ever to do it, of course, was Clint Dempsey and Will Bruin.
Yeah, and that's just crazy.
Right there, we didn't mention the numbers on the Areola trade. I mean, it was only $300,000 in GAM and a first-round pick. And we've talked about the limited value of first round picks, especially if the Sounders perform like they typically perform.
When we're picking in the high 20s, right. It's like, who cares?
Right. I mean, you're getting a player who potentially could start if you nail it, but usually not. So, I mean, both those trades, just people get mad at Weibel, but I feel like he's doing a genius job with what he's been given.
I'm very pleased with these things. I get the consternation about not getting a overseas DP transfer. There are risks and rewards to that for sure. I will say that if we did not get Jesus Ferreira, then I would have been really upset because, but the Jesus deal in itself was a masterclass in creating a trade in a creative manner that allows you to maximize the impact on your internal cap hit.
Yeah.
And really, really pleased with that.
But you could bring in a player of higher value that would have hit the cap at a number that would have prevented us from being able to sign a player like Paul Ariola. So if you're bringing in that DP that I want, you probably don't also bring in Paul Ariola. And so you just upgraded at two positions instead of one. So
you also don't bring in Albert Rusnak.
True. Yeah.
Because Jordan's DP salary was triggered automatically.
Yeah, that's right.
Because of his contract, that's locked in. So you had Jordan.
You had three players for the value Pedro. Of one there.
Exactly.
Do we have a superstar?
TBD. We have
Jesus is multiple be that.
Players. We have multiple players that can be superstars. And yep. And you know where I'll start? And some of those are young players. A Jackson Reagan. You don't see superstars in the center back position because it's not a sexy pick, but that can be a long-term thing.
Yeah.
Jesus Ferreira can absolutely be a superstar. Again, do not forget, just last season, a Russian team was signed a deal for $13 million and MLS blocked that transfer.
I mean, that's what you got to think about is you got a player who we know the value is set at around $13 million based on what he was doing. And so you brought in a player for Leo Chu and $2 million, a GAM, not even real money, Garber bucks, for $13
million. Wait, I need to build off of that a little bit. Not only the Leo Chu and that, you actually gave yourself even more options than you think because you brought in a player who was a DP, you got him to buy down to a TAM, and you sent off one of your U22 DPs, thus opening up an additional spot. So you basically got two DP level spots in this trade opened up.
Yeah.
One from buying down Jesus, one from shipping off Leo Chu. Just a masterclass. And I mean, this is the stuff where it's easy to not appreciate if you aren't nerding out over the roster rules. But I think I nerd out a little bit and I love it. I absolutely love it.
Aaron, what do you think? And what do you say to people who don't think that we're on par with LA? Like, I don't think we're as good as the LA is yet. What do you think about that?
I was beginning to wonder if I should just like say my number and move on.
This is the discussion.
Yeah.
It's been going on nonstop everywhere on the internet. Our own, I mean, come on. I know people are upset, but let's cut some of the negativity. You can say things on our board without on Discord without being angry. You can give your opinion. People are so mad. It's like soul sucking right now because we haven't.
It's not just us. It's Facebook. It's Twitter. It's Reddit.
But we haven't even kicked the ball yet.
I think this will be one of the more cohesive seasons this club may ever have. Have had. Sorry, sinusy. I mean, that's what our problem was. You already mentioned our defense was great. We got a proven scorer. Jesus is flashy when you start looking at his numbers and look at his recent history. Yes, he had, wasn't it an injury last year that kind of hampered
very
his season?
Service. They were playing.
Yeah,
and that's my Ariola right wing.
And back. That's my point. Let's look. You have Joao Paulo, Christian Roldan, Albert Rusnak. You'll have Jordan Morris, who is a better maybe distractor of the defense than a facilitator himself. But yeah, Pedro de la Vega was going to be my cap to feed Jesus. Right. Yeah. That's a lot of quality on the ball, a lot of great vision, and a lot of cohesiveness already. Jesus and Paul are going to be the new guys. They played together.
Yeah.
And they're experienced. Like Paul Ariola's played in Liga MX for years.
And yeah, he was a wing back there. He talked about that in his interview where he that's his natural position.
Yeah, and that's gonna, and that's likely what we're gonna see if you look at our in our Discord. I think who brought that formation up?
Eric
13. Thank you, Eric. I do love that. I do love that formation, which is J-Mo Jesus at the top, Rothrock, Rusnak, Areola, Obed, CR7.
I mean, I don't think you play Reagan, Rock as a. I mean, he has him there as
wing. I also include Pedro.
If you drop him back, right? You could put Areola on the right.
Well, I wouldn't have Rothrock. I would have Pedro De La Vega on the field. Yeah. I think you forgot him.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, I think people are discounting Pedro. I think people think because of last season, they didn't see the moments of brilliance that some of us saw. They didn't realize the. I mean, they've talked about it. The pressure's on him now. He's no longer has to get acclimated to a new country. He's no longer a kid. He's coming in with adult expectations and has to perform. They're expecting him to get assists.
And I expect him to actually play up to that.
If he stays healthy, confident. I think he will.
You just assume healthy, right? Shit happens.
Because he was on
pockmarked with injury.
Before he blew out his knee, he was on pace to be... He was already, I think, in the B squad of Argentina. He was on pace to eventually make the A squad within a few years. Like, this dude has all the talent in the world. His injuries that he got for the Sounders were not related to the other injury.
Can I ask you a question? What do Atencio, Reagan, Fry, Ferreira, Areola, Morris, and Roldan all have in common?
They play for the Sounders.
And? They've gotten called up to the U.S. national team.
Youth, at least at a youth level?
No, senior. All of them have gotten called up to the senior level. I don't know. Even Fry.
Fry's never been called up to senior, hasn't
he? He did get called up before he got his U.S. citizenship, actually.
So he was in camp, but he wasn't.
He was in camp. Player. He got called up into a camp. Yeah.
Because he was a youth.
How many caps is that? I think it's still all Areola and Hayes and Jordan.
But the point is that this is a quality.
Yeah. You know, I mean, quality
level.
Yeah. Because Fry talked about it today in his press conference that he doesn't know Areola, but he knows that Christian's really good friends with him. So.
I think Christian had a nice quote today that both Jesus and Areola are two more bilingual players who
they can help translate. So it's not just Christian doing it is what he said.
Well, no. So there are multiple players in the team that are bilingual, and that just, I think, adds to clubhouse chemistry. And I think both Areola
in general.
Well, both Areola and Jesus Ferreira, this is the third team that Jordan Morris has played with Areola on between over in Wales when Swansea. Oh,
they were there at the same time.
Same time.
Yeah. I know they're friends.
So Areola, U.S. national team, and now Sounders. But what I'm getting at is you're bringing in two new players, but those players have some familiarity with other members of our team, and that's only going to be good for chemistry.
Yeah.
And that's something that we spoke about multiple times last year, is this team had tremendous chemistry. So I'm really excited. And then you keep glue players such as João Paulo, re-signing him. And hopefully if they can get the deal over the hump, the Kim Keehee signing as a backup center back, that would be, you know, I'm very happy.
I didn't know about that news.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kim Keehee's, the deal's not done yet, but.
Is likely to come back.
There was a report today that there was a snag with his former team, and if they don't get it resolved in the next few days, they'll move on.
Well, there's a chance. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, he's played a lot of minutes for that team the last 2 years. And even though he's 36, he's I think he played most of their games. So,
well, they're in the Club World Cup as well.
Oh, yeah. Awkward. Makes sense why they don't want to move on from.
Ulsan Hyundai.
Wait, where are they playing? They're not they're not playing us, but.
No.
We're going to have like a love triangle of clubs with JP's Botafogo. And if Kim Keehee joins us, then his team's in there.
Yeah.
That'd be awkward. Yeah. We should go to break just because we're about halfway. And I am sick and would like to get some sleep, but I want to keep talking Sounders. Hey, guys. So I guess we'll go to break.
Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Okay, we are back. Yeah, I missed it by 2 seconds, Nick. What? All right, so let's just continue the conversation. We still have some Discord stuff we should bring out. It's just, yeah. I think maybe we could look at where we think this team is. I saw it right here. Give us your predictions to the season, and where do you see the Sounders standings and MLS realistically? That's from Alex as well.
Why don't you start us off on this one, Aaron?
Yeah, I already said third, so.
Mm-hmm. God, that's tough. So, because he follows up mentioning the other competition, so I'm just going to think MLS, because that's what he says. I think second, though. I think this team is going to be what I wish for. I think in the last episode was to be, I want a consistent winner. I think we're really going to compete every single game. We're not going to have as many valleys as we've been used to. I think the depth is there for us to be that good in the defense.
What do you think about the fact that we will be playing other tournaments, though, that will interrupt? So, like, we're going to be putting starters in for non-MLS games, for example, mm-hmm. at least the second.
Well, that's where I'm comfortable with the youth we've been playing for 3-4 years that can fill in those spots amicably, and we are deeper across the board. I still want to see, like we mentioned, that a five back, like wing back system, right? But there's gonna be matches where we don't do that. I don't really like our left and right back depth.
No, I actually think that if we were doing it right, we would be putting Christian at right back at this point.
It's fair.
We may.
Yeah, the ball has been kicked.
Yeah, I mean, Christian said he's going to be in the middle of the field, but I think we should be putting him at
right. Yeah, but he's not going to be in the middle of the field every single match for the rest of the season.
But there may be times, where, you know, because you've got Reed Baker Whiting who can play in the back. Depending on what happens, Paul Areola has been a wing back for Dallas and setting up a lot of productivity in the wing back position.
But that would be playing with five backs, which I want two forwards, and I don't think you're doing two forwards with five backs.
I do think that Paul Areola will be a upgraded version of what Kellen Rowe was to us. Just kind of where we need him. Plug and play. I think I have a feeling Areola will end up making over 30 starts on this team.
Yeah.
Well, so I realistically say second is where we'll finish. Nick, just finish it. Where do you think we'll finish?
Yeah. I think that depends on what kind of roster formation flexibility we end up using. If we stick with just our traditional setup, I think we might struggle a little bit, but if we can unlock, you know, a three center back setup, like we did when we were really successful during that COVID year in 2020, if we can get back to that and have a Reagan, Yamar, new who's three center back system, I do think that that can unlock some really good stuff. And I'm going to say second though, in the end, I do think we're going to finish second. I would say first, if we weren't in so many damn competitions.
Well, I just want two forwards. That's all I want. That's all I've ever wanted is two forwards. One forward isn't getting it done for us. We need an Oba Dempsey type pairing, and we have the Dempsey. I'm not convinced we have the Oba, but Jordan can go out and prove me wrong.
So in this case, are you saying Jesus is the Dempsey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And I think his skills are probably on par in terms of his ability to score and create.
And try shit? I don't know if he can try shit like Dempsey.
Well, they're not the same player, obviously.
Very, very few people in MLS history have.
But Nick, you said you think Ariola will play 30 matches. I mean, he played 31 last year, 25 and 23, and 34 and 22. So, yeah, I mean, I would expect most of our players are going to play at least 30 matches because we're going to pay over 50 this year.
Well, I mean starting 30 matches. Oh. I'm saying starting 30 matches, and I do not think...
So who's getting the short end of the stick then?
I just think that's going to come natural. I think he's going to do. Look at the year when Kellen Rowe played every single match for us when he had no business. He was not one of our matches. He was starting a lot of them because we just needed to make different spots. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Life happens in an MLS season.
But who's missing out then? Because if he's
well, he's saying anyone can be. An ankle for a week, a hip for a week. You know,
he's the player that I think can get on the field.
He's the whack-a-mole.
Yeah, I think he's the Brad Evans, he's the Kellen Rowe, he's the player that you can put in to many positions.
He's better than both those players.
But what he does, that flexibility is the same as how we previously utilized those two players. And so that's what I'm saying is I think he might end up starting 30 plus games for this team.
I think there's enough depth and talent on this team that we're and experience that even if we're facing a flashy team like either LA or a Miami at full strength, like we're going to hold our own, if not win more than half of them.
We have to prove we can score.
But I have to say, this is a, like, if Schmetzer doesn't produce wins with this roster, I mean, that's
a problem.
A problem.
I mean, we have the defense. Defense, even the LA game in the playoffs, we did things to LA that no team had done for over half a season, you know, shutting them out at home for 70 plus minutes, you know, things like this. We have the defense. Our problem was the final third. And I think the addition through time with the club of Pedro de la Vega, and then adding Jesus and Ariola, I think we're going to see something really good. And I'm hoping that we get some good continued growth from Georgie. But we're gonna see how this all fits together. But I'm very, very optimistic. I think we can easily update our total goals scored this season by at least a dozen.
Oh, I'd hope so.
Yeah, I would hope at least. But at least. I also think if that were to happen and we aren't playing five at the back, then something has gone catastrophically wrong if Ariel is starting that many games. That means Pedro is a bust. Or, I mean, because even if you have 50 games, that means he's starting more often than he's not. That means... you know, one of the players that we brought in isn't doing their job. I mean, I honestly think they'll probably start Reed Baker Whiting at right back. Put him back where he started.
I'm very curious to see how this preseason, this training camp, I'm curious to see how these things shape up. Yeah.
They're in Arizona, right?
Spain, I thought. Aren't they going to Spain?
Spain. Spain. They leave on Friday. All right, let's keep this going. Dan the Bastard says, will I really have to wait another 3 years before an outside DP comes in? But since we should probably move on, there have to be some moves recently that hint at a three-back system. So we talked about the three-back system anyways, but let's suggest that. Outside DP, yeah. I mean, until end of Jordan's contract, I don't see us bringing in another DP unless Jesus Ferreira is a bust, and then we're not going to be that good anymore.
Or Pedro.
I mean, we just brought in Pedro last season.
Yeah.
And I think that the
one of our TVPs that's what we, if that happens.
I mean, the big thing is this: what we paid for and what we're getting out of Jesus Ferreira is better than almost any DP we could have gotten for the value. And it's not a budget thing. It's just simple math.
Right. So, but like you said, he's probably going to become a DP. Assuming he plays, if he isn't a bust, he's going to become a DP.
Yeah.
And if he does that, then there's not a DP opening unless Pedro's a bust. So a bust. Assuming those players play well, yeah, we're not bringing an outside DP for 3 years. Because that's when joining the contract ends.
But we only re-signed...
Until there's a fourth DP.
We only re-signed Rusnak
Because Jesus will then step up and take that position.
I think that we probably have at least 2 years guaranteed of Jesus's TAM. I think it would be when it comes to the option years is my guess, but I'm pulling that out of my ass.
I mean, if it's like Jordan, it's based on performance. He could do it.
Yeah. Screen. But I think Jordan, this would have been an option year. And that option was moving him up to the DP.
Oh, so you're saying,
no, he was an option. He's under full contract. His contract goes for another, 2 years after this year?
I'd be very curious to see how that was structured. But we'll see.
There was no options.
I wish there was a little more transparency in our roster makeups.
I mean, MLS like just doesn't.
No, I know. But that's one of the things that actually it kind of makes it harder for fans to get into it. That's one of the things about, you know, NFL, MLB, is fans can see the numbers, can see the deal, and they, you know, trust your fans to be intelligent and to make, you know, intelligent conversations about these things. I think it's only a good thing. So I think that's a miss from MLS.
Yeah, I agree. But then they'd have to explain more about these Garber books and what they mean.
Well, I mean, you know.
Okay. So we are on Friday. The team leaves for Spain, and they already have matches lined up against a bunch of European teams. So I'll be interested to see who they are. Brian was talking them up in his press conference, but typically they are like Bromby and teams that are not top tier teams because they're not going to want to take a break in the middle of their season.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, if you want,
you also don't want to get your ass whooped in your first two training matches.
I mean, that's fine. I don't think they care about that as much as people playing against good quality players. Not, you know, they don't need to play against Manchester United, but
yeah.
You know, and sometimes they play like 2 60-minute halves. It's not even like real games, right? Or they play 2 60-minute games
with unlimited substitutes.
So. Last year they played in Spain and let's see, they played, TSC Baca, Norrköping and Odense BK. So those are all, Norwegian teams. I don't know which country they're from. One is from Sweden. One is from Denmark and one is from, I don't know, where Baka Topola is from, but I'm gonna get, you know, those countries, Serbia, wow, even though they use FK. So sometimes those games are viewable online and other times they're not. The final friendly was in I think it was back in the States in Seattle against Sacramento Republic last year. So I don't think we will have that this time unless it's like a closed door practice type thing, because on the 19th, you know, a month and 5 days from now, we play in Guatemala. Meaningful game.
Indeed.
And we start out hot.
Hey, I like Paul's question because one, you answered it last episode, Cameron and Nick. You weren't on the show. You were on assignment. So I want to hear what you have, and then I like his follow up questions. So Paul says, rank the comps: MLS, Leagues Cup, Club World Cup, U.S. Open Cup, others? Question mark. Like Cascadia Cup, Shield. Which would you prioritize winning? Which would you prioritize attending? What are your hopes and predictions for each?
I mean, I can answer one for Nick. We're attending them all.
Yeah, but use your experience and knowledge of the tournaments to say, hey, I can only go to like 5 games this year.
Oh, Club World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say Club World Cup, because here's the thing about the Club World Cup. This is the first time they've done this tournament in this kind of style. It's not going to go away. It's only going to grow from here. So being able to do the first one ever and to be able to go to all 3 games at a relatively affordable price is going to be something you're going to thank yourself down the road. Because one, the only time it's going to happen in the U.S. again is if the U.S. is going to be in a World Cup again, host a World Cup in the future. So you're looking at a minimum of 24 years.
Yep. Unless someone falls out, which right now they're picking rich countries, so that's probably not going to happen.
So one, this is a once in a generation, I don't want to say once in a lifetime, but definitely a once a generation opportunity. But to see your home club, the club you support, in their home stadium in the Club World Cup, that's not fucking happening. Mm-hmm. Just appreciate
meaningful games against Paris Saint-Germain, meaningful game against Atletico, meaningful game against Botafogo.
I mean,
we could get a meaningful game against Botafogo, possibly, because there's been talk about American teams joining Copa Libertadores. But those other teams, that's not happening.
This is it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one, prioritize that. I make no bones about, you know, any, yes, okay, all hats off. Yes, I'd win that. I'd go 0-4 on the season if the exchange was that we won Club World Cup. You know, I would. There we go.
I mean,
one, just because that in itself would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
You lost every single game in the regular season.
Yeah.
And you won Club World Cup. Just
we're just drunk at all the other matches. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, with all that said, so yeah, it's not realistic, but yeah, that would be the. You would have beyond, like, it's so beyond bragging rights on any other team in the league that I can't even fathom what that would be.
It's very expensive, though. So if you can't make it to that, I mean, we don't know where we'll be in U.S. Open Cup, but I love the U.S. Open Cup matches at Starfire. If you can make it down to a U.S. Open Cup at Starfire, I mean, the atmosphere is different. The feel that you're on the players, it's just, it's a different kind of game that you can't experience anywhere else. Now, if we advance further, obviously it's better to go to later matches because then we have more starters out there and it's more fun.
But it's also more expensive.
Yeah. Oh,
like that LA game was so stupid.
Because U.S. soccer now sets the price. And
I know.
And it was $75 or some crazy number for the ticket.
That was the first U.S. Open Cup game at Starfire that I passed on since the red card wedding, which I was watching the U.S. women play in the World Cup for that game.
Yeah, me too. That. Although that's the second one I've missed since then, but yes.
Yeah. But so I do love the Open Cup, and I want to win another U.S. Open Cup, but those are fun trophies.
But where would you, so I was doing it from the perspective, which would you prioritize attending for our audience? But trophy wise, where are you going?
Trophy, Club World Cup, MLS Cup. I love stars on my jersey. Give me
that's the hard one, right? Because I would have put Champions League above that, but but I like stars.
Yeah.
Actually, shit. I did not think about Champions League. No, yeah, we got to win a Champions League at least once every 4 years because I want to be in the next Club World Cup. I want to be in every Club World Cup. So, yes, give me Champions League, then MLS Cup.
And then US Open Cup. Where's US Open Cup fall between that and Leagues Cup then?
Oh, US Open Cup over Leagues Cup by far.
And then where's the Shield in all of it?
Leagues Cup is my least priority. I do love the Shield.
Leagues Cup guarantees us into Champions Cup.
Yeah, but if we win any of the other things, we get it too. So, yeah. So I guess Club World Cup, then CCL.
CCC.
Yeah,
that's right. It'll always be CCC.
www.ccc.com.
From a branding perspective, it makes no sense why you would move away from what Europe uses. Because you want people to be talking about the only thing I can think is maybe
Google you and not the UEFA one.
Maybe UEFA trademark Champions League or something. I don't know.
there might have been a hey, don't make us do a cease and desist because it'll look ugly.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But that'd be stupid. I mean, it's dumb to me.
But you know, it's CONCACAF, so just wait a year and they're going to change the format and the name all over again.
True.
You know, so don't worry about it. It'll change. So the reality is we just got to win Champions League once every 4 years, just somewhere in that 4 year cycle to make sure that we're in each Club World Cup.
Rusnak said he just wants a trophy. He's like, it's time. We were in four semifinals last year, didn't win a trophy.
Last time he said that we won.
Oh,
Champions League. His first season. He said, remember it's in my video.
Hey, with that said, I'm putting Cascadia Cup above Leagues Cup, if I'm being completely honest.
Wow.
I don't give a fuck about the Leagues Cup. And
you get more out of Leagues Cup is the thing. Because we don't know what'll happen in those other comps. We could lose out in all those other comps.
I know.
You just gotta get top three in Leagues Cup to make it to the top four. I can't remember. I know Colorado got in and they were
third. And we haven't ever won it before, so you got to have at least a copy of one.
Here's the thing is, as much as hardware and League's Cup, it's not going anywhere.
I know, but until they play games in Mexico as well, which I know they're not going to do, it's a bullshit tournament to me.
We're not playing in it anyways, so I just remembered.
Oh, we aren't?
At the same time as Club World Cup.
Yeah.
So,
but in the end,
we don't even need to worry about it.
I mean, in the end, just look at how spoiled we are. We are going to get a lot of soccer. I love this club.
Yeah,
I really love this club.
Rusnak said, he said, I love that we have so many games because it means we don't have that much practice. And I hate practice. I don't want to train. I just want to play.
Okay. That's a great quote. That's a great quote. Okay. What about the two of you?
I'm copy paste.
Yeah, I mean we're pretty much said. The same minus. Yeah. I would put Leagues Cup higher than Cascadia Cup. Cascadia Cup's the
and that's fair.
I would as well, just because I want one of each.
And I'm putting Heritage Cup above Cascadia Cup as well. Simply because I'm the holder of the Heritage Cup. So
I was gonna say that's gotta just be
holding, man.
Yeah, I'm the holder. I'd also be the holder of the Shield, so I'll put the Shield above that.
My question for you, I got a question for the three of you.
I hope it would be above the Heritage.
Three of us?
I know.
How many beers have you had?
It's a question. Well, that's a good question. As a matter of fact, let's just try and... There we go. Okay, so what player who was not a regular starter last season... Are you excited and hopeful, most hopeful for to see have a breakout season?
Who is not a regular starter?
Yeah, so that means no Rothrock is not going to be an eligible answer.
What about Pedro?
No, he was a regular starter when healthy. So I'm going to say no on Pedro.
Okay.
So we're looking at potentially like a Georgie or a Reed Baker Whiting or. You know, even a Danny Leyva or even a Jonathan Bell, you know, Cody Baker, such a shame he was injured
for so much last season.
I loved his energy
because I didn't have really one. And then I just realized I do. Danny Mazofsky.
Okay, there you go.
Danny, he is technically a forward, even though he often came in on the wing until Georgie became a revelation. And so if he can go out there and perform like he has every other year besides last year, he will, and he'll have service now. he could throw in a few goals and be a solid backup. You know, he's not going to push for starting. He's also changed numbers. I think he's number 19 now, as Areola is 17. I'm going to go with Mazofs because I'm not excited about. I mean, obviously, I love Cody Baker. I thought his ceiling's much higher. I thought he was a nobody, and he proved me wrong. And I will always respect him and love him after that. But it's Danny because I think he can have the biggest impact out of any of those players, except for maybe Reed Baker Whiting,
maybe Georgie.
I don't see Georgie getting on the field if Pedro's playing well and Ariel is playing well.
I mean, he could be a cheat code for some of these extra competitions, but
true.
What about you,
Aaron?
Well, I was going to say Georgie might be, I think you might've convinced me of Danny almost.
Danny's also one of the nicest guys on the team.
Like, yeah, he's actually done it before, right? Yeah. And we're also, Georgie right now looks like a one-trick pony. Like,
I'm sorry. I keep pushing back on that. He's got that move he does going along to the corner and the touchline, but he's also making those passes earlier. He's leading the team in key passes per 90.
I'm not saying he's doing a bad job at it, but I have not. Of course, every soccer player is going to kick the ball in just about every direction at least once.
But I get it.
But most of his stuff is right down to the end, a step over, and he doesn't curl anything in with his left foot, at least to that I've seen.
He did, right? He did start cutting it in and hit a few with his left foot in the semifinal there, the Western Conference final. But that's because they were forcing him to. But speaking of Danny Mazofsky, I mean, he scored 11 goals in 53 matches for LAFC. He scored, and then he got loaned down for a few games, 5 goals in 15 matches for Las Vegas Lights. And then he had 5 goals in 23 matches. So if we can get 5 goals out of him in the season, I think we are doing great.
Yeah, Danny's a clear, like, he's done it before. That's it won't be a surprise. Georgie looks like he has a very high ceiling and he's very flashy, right? So
and he has to continue to develop the way he has been.
Yeah.
In honor of retiring the Bruce Lee kits and talking about Georgie, I am going somewhere with this. I would like to state a Bruce Lee quote that I think is very appropriate to what you were just saying about Georgie. I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times. So if you know what Georgie's about to do, and yet he still does it time after time, he's damn good at that move. So that's kind of like, I just laugh.
Because nice
pull. I just do think that he's, even if you know it's coming, the fact that he's one, taking people on, yay. But two, I just hate to see people discredit his results when it's just, but we know it's coming, or it's just,
I never said anything bad about him.
No, I know. But I am,
I just said he's consistently does the same thing.
Yeah. I think we need,
and he's good at it.
I mean, here's the thing is he needed to develop into creating goal dangerous chances last year to get signed to the first team. And he did that. And then he, at the first team, started doing that. So we need to see his development continue. I mean, I think the only reason I think that he may not have the opportunity to shine to the level that Mazofsky could is because, it's opportunity. There's too many people potentially in front of him now. Yeah. But he could also say, fuck you, and run roughshod over all of them and make himself a starter like Rothrock did last year.
Yeah.
I think this would be another place to put Paul Rothrock if he were eligible, because he now has people potentially above him.
An automatic starter.
I mean, depending on how many forwards you play, suddenly he could be fourth in line in if Reed,
which is crazy
in line in the left.
Yeah. so crazy that you're starting your locked in starter is now maybe at best your third choice.
I mean, that's how good that's how much we added.
That just means it's a good offseason.
That's what I'm getting at. So this is where I'm like, you know what? I think Weibel, I'm happy, but now we got to see them do it on the field. If I have one request for this this next season, I would love to see us collectively as a fan base be a little bit more optimistic.
That's just killing me is the lack of optimism when we haven't even kicked a ball. I mean, y'all are Seattle sports fans. You should know that we go into every season optimistic and then we get our hearts broken. But you got to start out with the optimism. It's just a question of when do our hearts get broken.
Right now, I mean, obviously the Hawks didn't make it in, and then the Mariners have just been doing absolutely nothing all offseason. So maybe
what do you mean?
The
they just signed two mediocre infielders. I don't know what you're talking about.
Again.
One of worse. But
older, too.
But here's the thing is, I mean, the Seahawks, I'm glad the Seahawks didn't make a playoffs. It gives them a better draft pick. They proved that they are a better team than they used to be. They got to figure out what's going on because you're about to pay $44 million for Geno when there's multiple quarterbacks out there that are better and cheaper. But this is not Seahawks scuttlebutt. So what we should talk about is the fact that I have a Bruce Lee quote for Danny Musovski and how he has to get his 5 goals. If it kills you, it kills you.
If he dies, he dies.
Someone put up a picture of Detlef Shrimp the other day and said, "Who's this?" And I put up that if he dies, he dies. All fun
nice. Gift. Nice. I love it.
I love Detlef. He's like best friends with the GM of the Superhawks. So we were talking. He's like, "Oh, I got to get you to hang out with Detlef more so that you can start getting in with the Sonics front office people." I'm like, "Yes, please.
Yes, please. Can I be your lackey as usual when you're hanging around people like that?"
Yes. I mean, I got to hang out.
Cameron, what are you doing here,
man? I got to hang out last year with Gary Payton and Xavier McDaniel. So good times. We would have been Sean Kemp if he didn't get arrested.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah. Don't, if someone steals your stuff, don't go to try to get it on your own with a gun. It doesn't work.
Oh, it was that story? Yeah.
Oh, he went the OJ route?
Yeah. Which that's why OJ actually did go to prison was for trying to get back stuff that was stolen from him on his own with a gun. So
don't do that.
Let other people do it for you. Presumably law enforcement folks, but you know,
I always seek help from other people.
All right. So you both think that we're getting second. I think we're getting third. Since this is the preseason preview, although we'll probably do another, just tell me, where are we going to finish in the MLS once the season's done and the playoffs are over? This will be what we let James take it away with.
Repeat the question.
Once the playoffs are over, where are we finishing?
Oh, I thought we just did that.
No, you did regular season.
Oh, I see where you're going. Okay. Well, I honestly think that this is an MLS Cup winning contender. I think, I didn't feel like we were last season, although I felt like we finished where we should have finished in the playoffs. That did feel like, it would have been an uphill battle to win the MLS. I think actually it would have been harder to beat LAFC than it would to win the MLS Cup last year. But, I do think we'll win it this year. I do. I'm going to put money on it.
All right, Nick.
Well, not really. I have no money. So, but I'm just.
Wow.
Nick,
it's been 6 years.
Yeah, if you think about it that way, when was the last time we won an MLS Cup?
2019.
Yeah. It's been a long time. This is no longer
been a long time. Been a long
this is no
time.
Longer a team that is a in the MLS is a dynasty. We've become the Buffalo Bills, which Nick knows a lot about.
You shut your face.
So where are we finishing, Nick?
On my, oh wait,
explicit it
and muted. Honestly, I feel good about this season. I really do. I do think that we are going to be an MLS Cup.
Nice.
I do. I think we're going to be in MLS Cup.
I think if we finish second, I would agree, because that means if someone could knock off whichever LA finishes first, then we could host that game, and I think we go through. If we finish third, I think we're going to need some help. So I'm going to say we're going to lose in the Western Conference Finals again. But I feel that even though I want trophies, I feel that is a successful year because only one Western Conference team makes it that far.
I will say, though, I do think that Miami's going to have a struggle this year.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting to watch that happen.
They let go some good players.
Yeah, and everyone's gotten a little older.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what Nick always says about Leo Messi? If it kills you, it kills you. If he dies, he dies.
Wow.
What's funny is I love Leo Messi. I don't think we ever talked about this. I just want to say real quick, he won the U.S. Presidential Medal of Freedom. People that think he don't deserve it, you clearly haven't looked at past winners. They give it to people in all sorts of arts and sports. And I mean, Margaret Thatcher got it, for God's sake. Someone who helped aid the thousands and thousands of deaths in Northern Ireland, who started infinite wars, we won't get too political, but you know, just if she's getting that kind of stuff, you know, other people like one of the experts on Beethoven got it at one point. It's like, here's the guy,
the
greatest soccer player of all time.
I think he's just literally getting every award you can possibly get. Sure.
But that's
kind of all it is.
I think he's done more to raise the profile of soccer in the United States outside of soccer fans than anyone else has done in the last 20 years since the last World Cup.
I'd agree with that.
So I'm for it because it means the sport's getting bigger. And I think if it were 2 years from now, it was, or a year from now, year and a half from now, damn, and it was a World Cup, then that's going to be the big news. And I'm just prepping myself to not be able to go to those games, even though I wanted nothing more than to go to a game with my dad for the last 20 years. Because you thought Club World Cup was expensive. Hoo boy.
Okay, so a couple things about that. So here's what I really do expect to see happen with the World Cup. One, just keep in mind that that FIFA does tickets and demands. They do the demand in waves. And so there's an initial ticket wave period. Then usually there will be a local sale. And then usually as you get closer to the World Cup, there will be another wave, like a second chance tickets for things that, you know, maybe sponsors and people who are offered the rights to buy tickets don't buy up. So there will be opportunities to get tickets at face value. You just have to be diligent on that. But I do think that face value is going to preclude me from going to all the games in Seattle.
Yep. So unless I get a new job,
so my goal is one game in Canada, one game in Mexico, one game in the U.S. I want to go Vancouver, Seattle, and Mexico City. If I can do that, I'll be really happy.
Damn, you greedy. I just want to go to a single game in Seattle with my dad, preferably USA on June 19th, just before my birthday. Think about that, people. Join our Patreon so that we can buy us tickets.
Perfect for
Patreon. It'd be a perfect birthday present. You can give more than the $1.74. You can give, you know, $1,000.74. And if you do that for a few months, you do it for 4 months, we'll be able to get all three of us plus my dad a ticket to that match, maybe.
And you'll get a photograph from us.
Oh, we'll wave. We'll wave. We'll live stream for you on our phones.
And if you subscribe at the at the highest tier, one of us will streak on the field, get arrested, and make national news.
Wow. And then it'd have to be Aaron, because you and I would get kicked off the Alliance Council for that.
Shit. I did not sign up for
and
this.
And we would probably lose our season tickets as well.
We need to bring this into port. James needs to save this.
Where can they find you?
We're sinking.
Where can they find you, Nicholas, on the internets?
On the internet, you can find me on Twitter at Nikita Banana. You can find me on Instagram at Cascades2C. What about you, Aaron?
at Twitter at Aaron Lingley, AaronLingley.
And of course, you can find me at Cameron. Legal Minded Punk on all the stuff, including Blue Sky, although I'm never on there. And just remember, in the words of Bruce Lee, if it kills you, it kills you. Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.